field or in the barn. Lots of the corn years gone by used to be put in the barn, and then the thrashing machine used to come into the barn to thresh it in the winter time. Or what you couldn't get in the barn was put in ricks. And of course, sometimes they were thrashed soon after harvest, sometimes they were thatched and stayed out for a good bit of the winter, towards spring before you thrashed them. That was really the best way of keeping it, because if they were in there, well, the grain, if it was a little bit tough when you put it in, before it come out to be thrashed, it was hardened and dry, and if the rick had been built properly so the water didn't run into it, well, you mostly got all nice dry corn. If it was built badly and the water ran the other way about, instead of running outside, it ran inside, and it'd go right down through the rick. But that was the fault of the rick builder, if it did. Because if the man knew how to build his rick, well, you put the sheaves outwards, not inwards, and then the water would soak out. If it just got into the top, it wouldn't go far in. But that was one of the arts that you had to learn when you were young.
How did you set about job making it?
Well, you started a rick the usual way. Most times I always started mine in the middle. I put just like a shock in the middle, half a dozen sheaves, and then built it around it and led the ears up on top so the butts of the sheaves touched the ground, or the steddle, whichever it was on. If there was a steddle made of hedge trimmings, faggots or anything like that, to keep it off the ground. If it was put in like a shock, or a stoop, some people call it, and you put that into the middle, and then built around it and put the ears on top, it was all the butts down on the ground. And then you got the outside of your rick, the size you wanted it, and then you gradually went on upwards until you got to the top. To be a good rick builder, you wanted to keep it just about level until you got towards the eaves, and when you got up towards the eaves, you wanted to bring the middle up, fill it up so that it tipped outwards. And then your roof was dipping out all the time, and the water, well, it's really a job to explain just how you laid them. But if you knew how to lay them for the roof, you could put it so that the every butt turned outwards, and the water would soak out. Because you can't really explain just how to do it, you want to do the job, and then you find out how. But you do see some people building the roof of a rick, and instead of putting it outwards, they seem afraid to tip them outwards because they're going to think they're going to slip, and they put them inwards. And then the water, if it does get in, it goes towards the middle of the rick instead of going outwards. That's as near as I can explain about that. Well, in this district, it was always two horses on a plough, nearly always a pair of horses abreast, the furrow and the land horse. And then, of course, you did you ploughed it as it come, you struck at what we call a veering. Yeah. You ploughed the offered, and then when you ploughed so much offered, you wanted to turn the other way, and you had what we called a turd. And then you come to the furrow at the finish. The plough, well, my younger days, there were the old wooden ploughs, what we used to call the Guildford plough. They were made by a firm in Guildford, Filmer and Masons. One-wheel wooden plough. And then a little later on, well, at about the time I started, there was the iron ploughs, the two-wheeled iron ploughs, which were much easier to hold than the one-wheel wooden one. Because you could set them on, if you could get them set right, if you could find out just the place to set them, well, they were no trouble at all. And you knew how to turn around with it. It was quite easy.